Jenna?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, may I introduce...
Let them finish their testimony. I'm watching. It's fantastic.
Well, you might as well...
But let them finish their testimony.
He wants to finish?
He wants to finish.
He wants to finish.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, please, can you hear me on Zoom? If you can introduce yourself and proceed.
My name is Olivia Jane Winters, and I'm a professional organizer and a business management consultant, and I live in Philadelphia. I actually was asked to be a minority inspector in 3615. That's the ward in the division. I was just purely doing this to help my mom out. She's a ward leader in a different area of the city. I'm actually not I'm a registered Democrat, and I just wanted to help and make sure it was a fair election. I don't care who wins. I care that it's a fair election. I showed up to the polls at 6:30 in the morning. Immediately, I was met with a hostile attitude from all of the people that I had to work with. That would be the majority inspector, the poll watcher, the machine operator, and a committee man who was electioneering in the polls. He was wearing shirts and a hat and a mask for who to vote for. We are about like an hour and a half in the morning. We have a long line of people. We must have had, I don't know, 60 people in line in the building, snaking around the building. And a woman came up and said, I'd like to turn in my mail-in ballot so that I can vote in the booth. And the girl who was clerking for me said, well, if you want to turn in your mail-in ballot, we're going to need to have you fill out this form, and the majority inspector is going to need to sign the form. The majority inspector had decided in the middle of the morning to go home and was not in the polling place for over 45 minutes. To my understanding, you as the minority, the judge of elections, my apologies. She had gone home. And to my understanding, the judge of elections is not to leave the polling place. So she was out of the building. We needed her to sign this form. The man who was electioneering and was a poll watcher, but also a committee man, confronted myself and the clerk and said, you don't know what you're talking about. Anybody can sign the affidavit. Why don't you stop trying to cause problems? Why don't you shut up? Started getting in my face, cursing at me, telling me that I needed to be quiet, that I didn't know what I was talking about, and I should just learn to sit down and not say anything and just let it happen. And my clerk and I said, no, we're not going to let that happen. That's ridiculous. It says very clearly in our training and on this sheet that an affidavit needs to be signed by the judge of elections if somebody's going to turn in a mail-in ballot before they can go vote in the booth. We made her wait. Finally, the judge of elections came back. Not, of course, before he was threatening me. The majority inspector threatened to slap me in the face. And he told me that it was going to become a quote-unquote racial issue. I'm not really sure why that would become a racial issue. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with following procedure and making sure it's an honest election. I felt threatened. I called my ward leader. The ward leader then called the commissioner for Philadelphia, Al Schmidt. Al Schmidt had me call and report that to the DA. And then about an hour and a half after that, the majority inspector told me that she wanted to vote because we had a lull in people coming to the polls, so it was pretty quiet. And I looked her name up so that she could sign the book, and it said that she needed to remit her mail-in ballot or vote provisionally. She said, oh, I threw that in the trash. And I said, well, then you have to vote provisionally. And the machine operator and the same committee man slash poll watcher who was electioneering that I mentioned before got up in my face again, told me that I didn't belong there, that I needed to shut up, started cursing expletives at me again, told me that they were going to allow her to do that and that I better be quiet about it. And then they let her go into the polls and vote. And she did not vote provisionally at all. She voted And who knows, maybe she voted twice. Not to mention, it wasn't until I had actually called our ward leader, who had called the commissioner, who had called the DA, that they then sent representatives down to discuss this with me and defend me. I mean, I had maybe 6 men there because I was being threatened in the polling place. And the committee man that I mentioned earlier, who was threatening me, then got his cousin involved, who was working the polls as a poll watcher and was also wearing electioneering gear. She got up in my face, demanded to see my credentials, then tried to refuse to give them back to me, told me that they were illegitimate minority inspector certificates. They basically told me they were going to call my council rep and he was going to come down and make me leave. I just ridiculous threats. I then testified in a hearing for the city of Philadelphia for them on election day regarding this harassment. And meanwhile, I had mentioned that until we had the deputy sheriff come down and tell us how to actually receive a mail-in ballot and how to vote provisionally, we were not doing it correctly. The judge of elections was not doing it correctly. And I cannot stress this enough. My brother had the same role as me as a minority inspector in a different polling place. And he said they were not doing it correctly either. I don't think that anybody actually really knew how to receive a mail-in ballot. Most of the books that we had to get your authorized signature, some would have a remit ballot little box that you could click, and others didn't have that at all. So if somebody came in and remitted a ballot, I'd almost have to like hand write that in just to keep it as honest as possible. There was no place for that. So I don't see really how they were keeping track of that, because you could easily do both. And I mean, it happened in front of me.
This is Gloria Lee Snover. I am chairman of the Northampton County Republican Committee. Northampton County is a Democrat county where Republicans win elections. I have been involved in the political process in Northampton County for more than 25 years. I've worked on campaigns for township supervisor to president of the United States. This year was one of the most vast, complex elections I have ever had to oversee as party county chairman. The complexity was due to the new mail-in ballot system and ever-changing rules. The unmanned drop boxes in the general election that we did not have in the primary. Also changing the fact that voters could bring their ballot to the polls and vote on the machine, and many other new procedures. There was mass confusion regarding the mail-in ballot system. I fielded scores of calls from Northampton County voters and collected incident reports from voters and poll watchers regarding the November 3rd election. The typical calls I would field were, I didn't ask for a mail-in ballot. Why am I on the mail-in ballot list? I did not get my ballot. What should I do? It's been weeks. How come my wife got her ballot and I didn't get one? We applied on the same day. How can I vote on the machines if I applied for a ballot? Is it safe to put my ballot in the mail? My ballot says it wasn't received and I turned it into the election office in person. My ballot says canceled. What does that mean? I voted in person and it still says not counted. I've been on hold with the election office 70 minutes. What do I do? In turn, because of these questions, I had a number of phone calls and emails, correspondence with the election office and the county solicitor before election day, trying to make sure I was disseminating information correctly to the voters, volunteers, and the campaign. One call turned heated when the registrar threatened to turn me over to the district attorney for posting a picture of a voter ballot harvesting a large bag of ballots at a Northampton County drop box. It was my opinion the registrar was more concerned we exposed it rather than the fact that it was happening. The most pertinent information I have to offer this committee was my conversations with the election office regarding curing the disqualified naked ballots, which they unlawfully pre-canvassed before Election Day. They actually told me on the phone early in October, they felt them, they held them up to the light, they separated them out in different boxes. To this day, we have no idea what or whose ballots were counted. There's a pattern of reactivated old voter rolls that kept reoccurring on the SHRE system. The SHRE system is our Pennsylvania voter system. Scores of people that had not voted since the 1990s, more than 22 years ago, were all now reactivated and receiving mail-in ballots. People that didn't vote for Obama or Hillary were all of a sudden receiving mail-in ballots, setting up the opportunity for fraud on a massive scale that would go undetected because voters who never intended to vote would not know. The SHRE system is not so SHRE. We also found in Northampton County more than 1,500 votes where the mail-in ballot was received in the election office on a date before it was even mailed.
I really appreciate being asked to speak, and I'm in the Oval Office right now, and it's very interesting to see what's going on, and this was an election that we won easily. We won it by a lot. A big energy official was on this morning on an important show and said there's no way Trump didn't win Pennsylvania because the energy industry was all for him. I saw, you know, with my eyes what happened, and he told me horror stories, absolute horror stories. So this was a very sad to say it. This election was rigged, and we can't let that happen. We can't let it happen for our country. And this election has to be turned around because we won Pennsylvania by a lot, and we won all of these swing states by a lot. Anybody watching television the night of the election was saying, wow, I was called by the biggest political people. Congratulations, sir, on a big win. And all of a sudden, ballots were dumped all over the place, and a lot of horrible things happened. And everybody in that room, I want to thank all of the people that signed affidavits and all of the speakers. You're fantastic people. You're great patriots. I want to thank the senators for being there. And it's so important. Day before Thanksgiving, it really represents somebody. Between the voter suppression and all of the horrible things that happened to poll watchers, we have poll watcher affidavits piled up to the ceiling. They're all over. They were treated horribly all over this, all of these swing states. I mean, virtually all of the swing states. And many other things were happening that were horrible, just horrible. But the poll watchers weren't allowed to watch. They were, in many cases, whisked out of the room, not only into pens that were 20, 30, 40, 60, 100 feet away, where you couldn't even see. They were using binoculars. People are reporting that they had to use binoculars, and that didn't work. If you were a Republican poll watcher, you were treated like a dog. And the Democrats had no problem, but they were rough. They were literally pushed out, and it was rough tactics. This is what happened here. This is not the United States of America, what happened. And I think everybody knows that. That's why you're there, and that's why you're so vehement about it. We have many, many cases, many cases of people walking in, a woman, an elderly woman walks in looking forward to voting November 3rd and says, oh, good, where would I go about voting? I'm sorry, you've already voted. Your ballot is in. I said, no, I didn't vote. I didn't vote. No, your ballot is in. You've already voted. In all cases for Biden, by the way. She said, no, I want to vote. Nope, your ballot is in. And then they give her a provisional ballot to sign, which goes nowhere. It's a disgrace that this is happening to our country. We won this election by a lot. We got 74 million votes. And if you would have said 74 million votes the day before the election, every single professional in the business would have said there's no way of beating that. We got 11 million votes more than we had 4 years before in 2016. And we got many votes more than Ronald Reagan had when he won 49 states. And nobody would have said we even had a chance of losing. And all you had to do is take a look at the numbers at 10 o'clock in the evening when everybody thought the election was virtually over. And then very weird things happened. But they're not weird to professionals, and they're not weird to Dominion and other people that operate machines, and they're not weird to the people that handle the ballots where they were flooding the market. People were getting 2 and 3 and 4 ballots in their home. People that were dead were signing up for ballots. Not only were they coming in and putting in a ballot, but dead people were requesting ballots, and they were dead for years, and they were requesting ballots. And the whole world is watching us. The whole world is watching the United States of America, and we can't let them get away with it. And we have judges that are afraid to make a decision. We have judges that don't want to do the same thing. A very good lawyer said, well, sir, I mean, that's a big statement for a judge to overthrow an election. I said, really? If he got hundreds of thousands of votes more than he was entitled to get through all of the things that I'm listening to right now, and you're just covering a few of them, we have hundreds and hundreds of affidavits of stories that are even worse than the stories I'm hearing. Why wouldn't they overturn an election? Certainly overturn it in your state, because we have other states that are just as bad. If you look at Michigan with Detroit, you look at the things that happened in Detroit, where you have a voter, but you have more votes than you have voters. You take a look at Detroit, Michigan. You have more votes than you have voters. And then you have two people that don't want to certify. They don't want to certify. And they're harassed violently. And they turned off the cameras during the harassment for 2 hours. And then they said, wow. And they were afraid and they voted. And then they went back to sign and they couldn't do it because they said, we can't do it because this is corrupt. This is horrible what's taking place. Think of it. More votes than you have voters. But that was the least of it. They have things that were as bad as that. And this is going on all over. We're doing very well in a lot of states. A lot of good things are happening in Georgia. We're getting little help from government, but a lot of good things are happening in Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan. They're seeing what happened in Detroit. And we sure are looking at what's happening in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. What happened in Philadelphia, they keep the poll watchers, not only in pens, but they keep them out of the building. And the only reason they got back into the building was they got a court order. And then the definition of back into the building was very far away where they couldn't see anything. And they talk about closed circuit television, except you couldn't see it because the picture was so unclear, you didn't even know what they were doing. They could have been playing a baseball game. So it's a very sad thing for our country to have this. And they have to turn over the results. It would be easy for me to say, oh, let's worry about 4 years from now. No, this election was lost by the Democrats. They cheated. It was a fraudulent election. Mm-hmm. They flooded the market. They defrauded everybody on ballots. And I just want to thank everybody for being there. You're doing a tremendous service. This is a very important moment in the history of our country.
You know, 16 years ago this week, I was called out of retirement and recalled active duty to go to Iraq to do the elections in Iraq in January 30th, 2005. That was an extraordinarily secure election. As a former commanding officer of a civil affairs group and psychological operations command, I know how to do elections. And what happened in Pennsylvania from a process control perspective was absolutely a travesty. What I am concerned about is the remedy. How do we go from here? We see that there's a perspective from our council that a 1937 law provided the ability to appoint the electors to the Secretary of State. And I'm curious as to whether or not sir, you believe a special prosecutor should be appointed at the federal level to look at all these irregularities, or whether or not there is still actions that can be done at the state level to ensure that the goal of what we're attempting to do is to ensure, as we did for the people in Iraq and as I did for the people in Haiti, to ensure that the results are fair, accurate, transparent, and a representation of the will of the people of the United States.
Suggestion would be, and of course there are several different remedies that you could have. One would be to declare that the votes that were not inspected properly be declared null and void in that county and deducted from the vote total. It's essentially what they do in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has the strictest absentee law in the country. They require an application for every ballot. And when they finish, they only count the number of absentee ballots that have an application. They deduct from the total from that county whatever are missing. So if you have 5,000 absentee ballots, but only 4,000 applications, you deduct 1,000 votes. And the reason they do that is to deter people from doing that in the future. Look at it this way. If you didn't deduct the 678,000 or whatever it is votes that were not counted, there's no penalty for it. What stops them from doing it again next time? And this is a question of not voters acting improperly. It's a question of the inferior offices of this state, because they're inferior to the legislature in this regard, acted improperly. They conducted a completely sham election. They're the ones who have to be penalized. It's a little like the exclusionary rule in criminal law. They've got to be taught you can't do that. The other thing you could do is you could demand to see all of the envelopes that were cast aside. I will virtually guarantee you're going to see a couple of 100,000 envelopes that have no names, partial names, the same name. You could ask to see the ballots. You're probably going to see ballots that are official and ballots that are unofficial. You have two major gaps. You have the 672,770 votes that were not inspected by anyone, secretly put into the ballot box. And then you have this gap that I don't understand between the mail-in ballots you sent out, 1.8 million, and the number you counted, 2.5 million. That's totally impossible to explain, other than what some of the witnesses were suggesting, that they were basically stuffing the ballot box. I believe what happened is they never expected to be behind by 700,000 or 800,000 votes on election night. They expected to be behind by a couple of 100,000. In Philadelphia, to steal a couple of 100,000 votes, they do it every year. And that's not going to be tough. Now you had a real big problem. So you had to create mail-in ballots. You had to stretch it out for a while. We didn't go into detail on the Dominion system, but we have two other experts who can show you how they injected votes into the Dominion system. And also, so I think I would settle this election, but I would definitely appoint a special prosecutor to prosecute the people who conducted this election. You might even ask just a general question: how could the governor and the elections commissioner, how could they have selected a company that counts our votes outside the United States?
Amen.
I didn't know that.
A couple of years ago, our Supreme Court in Pennsylvania very illegally redrew congressional maps. It's very clear in our Constitution that is a legislative act. Fast forward a couple of months ago, our Supreme Court rewrote our election law. Again, that needs to be done in statute. It is a legislative act. When it came to the mail-in ballotings, that House bill, I want to say it was 77, Act 77, I was really kind of taken aback by how eager the governor was to sign that bill. Normally, bills can sit in his desk eight and almost 10 days before he signs them, or lets them become law on their own, or vetoes them right away. And that one he signed almost instantaneously. And I just kind of wondered. So after I saw what happened in the primary, I wrote House Bill 2626. And this is where it kind of locks it in for me, Mr. Mayor and panelists. In House Bill 2626, I saw where there could possibly be stuffing the boxes. So I said, simply, let's put a barcode on the bottom of every mail-out ballot so that the machine has to read a barcode that was accepted by the elections office. Before that ballot goes out, they zap it. When it comes back, if that barcode doesn't match one of the barcodes that they sent out, it gets kicked out. The governor immediately, as soon as we ran that bill out of committee, said, that hits my desk, it's an automatic veto. Wow. Then we have the drop boxes, the 3 days extra to vote, the ignoring the signatures and ignoring the postmarks. And I have to come to the conclusion, if it looks like corruption, smells like corruption, it's corruption, and we've got to get to the bottom of it.
My question, Mr. Mayor, you touched upon it briefly, but I want to just, if you could delve it a little bit more into it. Attorney General Barr, shortly after the election, authorized the U.S. attorneys across the country to investigate allegations of voter fraud. I wonder if you could tell us about the criminal investigations that are going on, maybe specifically in Pennsylvania.
Sorry, Senator, I wouldn't be made privy to that, the criminal investigations. And in my experience, criminal investigations, you know, would take too long to help you in your most immediate decision. Yeah. Criminal investigations could help you in your long-term decision as to how to reform so this never happens again, which I think you all will want to do. For example, not ever hiring again a company that counts votes in Frankfurt, Germany, that's owned by two Venezuelans who are very close to Hugo Chavez and Maduro. That's extraordinary. And unfortunately, we don't have the time to really analyze the votes. Although, if you want to go into greater detail, we have other forensic experts that can show you votes that were specifically put into the machine, because these machines have a back door that allows you to do that. So I would say the criminal proceedings are going to take 6 months to a year. What you have before you that you can verify is, you have before you very, very clear evidence. It's not small. It's not as if these are a couple little mistakes that happen in every, I hear people say, oh, every election has a couple of little mistakes. Not 682,000 ballots that nobody got to inspect, that from time immemorial, we've never had trouble in America with absentee ballots. I've been in absentee ballot contests in New York. And they can, you know, they can be pretty vicious, and the language is worse than that poor lady experienced. But we would never think of having one without the Republican there and the Democrat there. Even in New York, we would never think of it. Here, they did it 700,000 times. That's an insult to the legislature, because you didn't provide for that. And you've got this gap of 700,000 unexplained mail-in ballots that come out of nowhere. So I think you have more than enough to say that this election, the numbers don't add up. It's easy to figure out what the right numbers are by excluding the illegal votes and count the honest votes, and the winner of the election changes.